If you talk to somebody that squats 700 pounds and they have back pain, do you think that you will tell them that they have a weak core?
Right.
Probably not. Same is true. Like if someone squats 200 pounds, like, do you think that their core is weak? I mean, it could be a little weaker, but do you think that like stabilizing like 200-300 pounds on your back is like a weak core? Probably not.
Probably not.
And so, you know, like that's my problem with it. Like maybe for the general population who doesn't lift, maybe there is some like merit and some truth to that because they aren't exercising. However, for like lifters, I think it's complete bullshit. Like I hate it.
Welcome to the future is female powerlifting. A show where women of all strengths can explore the world of female powerlifting. I am your host, Heidi Donnell, a 60-kilo powerlifting gym owner, and each episode we bring you an inspiring interview or message to help you unlock your true inner strength potential. Thanks for tuning in.
Aloha, my beautiful friends, and welcome back. We are on episode 98 here today, and I got to bring on one of my favorite guests, Dr. Caitlin Wells, again to talk a little bit about the things that we all have to put up with when it comes to powerlifting, and that's pain. And specifically today, we're going to be talking about back pain. What is back pain? How are we more than likely developing back pain from powerlifting? What are some things that we should avoid in powerlifting? What are some things that we should be doing when it comes to exercises, mobility, flexibility? And what are some myths surrounding a lot of what goes on with back pain? In the podcast world, you are not supposed to date yourself, meaning you shouldn't put a date on things and say what year it is and all that. But hey, today is Christmas of 2022, and I want to wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. And I hope you're having a wonderful time with your family and friends or by yourself, whatever it may be. I'm glad that you're listening here today. And I hope that you learn a little bit from this back pain episode, because I think that if you are not experiencing any back pain, fabulous. But if you do, like we've all, you know, I've been powerlifting over a decade now and I've experienced tons of back pain here and there. Right now, no back pain. So it's phenomenal. We're in a good time. However, these are things that I hope you revisit and think about as you progress through not only your back pain, but a different pain that might be coming up. A few things to know is we are going to have some associated videos with the podcast itself. So if you're listening through Apple or Spotify, if you go to the show notes, it'll click you through there. There should be some videos that you can directly link to. It'll be to my YouTube, and I'll show you some of the videos of the exercises that we talk about at the end that can really help you. Things that would pretty much be okay for you to do on a daily basis, give or take. You know, use some common sense in there. If things don't feel right, then of course don't do it every day. But things that we recommend that you can do every day to sort of bulletproof or mitigate any problems that might be coming up. And if you are looking for online training, we offer two major things at my gym right now. So we offer online in-person, right? That is like our personalized one-on-one. And then we're also going to be offering a team or group setting training that is going to be through our new app that we're having through our gym. So if that is something you're interested in, go to core256.com. At the beginning of the year, we're going to talk more about that. You'll have more information on the website at the beginning of the year. I'll be putting stuff out on my Instagram and my gym page, which is Core Strength and Performance. You can find us on Instagram at CoreSNP. And if you like free stuff, I am giving away a whole bunch of stuff on our website, core256.com. If you go to what we offer, there's a little thing on the very top, scroll down, it'll say freebies. There's a guide for everything. It's a free PDF download that I created. Meat day, what to eat, protein sources, how much you should be eating on meat day. And then I also, these are my favorite, like a meat attempt template. And I've talked about how to, you know, really come up with your meat attempts, just a guideline. But this is a Google sheet. So to make it a lot easier for you, just input your current numbers and it'll just populate it for you. Makes it super easy. And I also have a meat day checklist. So you know what to bring, everything and your mama on there. I even talk about you need a power strip. Sometimes you need a power strip, and maybe that's the mom in me. It's like, everybody come and plug your phones here. I do that. And I bring the power strip. So I am that person. And of course, we also have a weigh-in checklist. So some things to consider if you're going to be weighing in for the first time. And let me tell you, as a meat director, it makes my life a lot easier if you got your shit together. Okay. So visit my website, core256.com, under what we offer, scroll down to freebies and get it today. Now let's get it going with Dr. Caitlin Wells. So today we're going to talk about everybody's favorite, back pain. Everybody loves back pain, hey. Right? Everybody's got it. And today I'm joined with Dr. Caitlin Wells, and we're going to go over just some info about back pain. You got back pain lifting, and you don't know what to do. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know how you got it. We're going to go over some of the basic things to keep in mind when you have back pain. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm stoked to be here again.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm officially part of the Futures Female.
You are. You're fam. Official a long time ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I love it. And like, I love when people like reach out and, you know, they're like, oh, I heard you on Heidi's podcast or something. Like, yeah. That's so cool. So keep that coming, guys.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. If any of you are listening, definitely shout out. And you know, I always say this in the beginning, but it, you know, we love it. If you leave a comment on the post or you take a video of it, it helps us know that we're on the right track with the information that we're giving to you, because a lot of this is coming from people asking, you know, questions and our own experiences from Dr. Caitlin's, patients and from people at my gym. You know, I think as I've done this longer, the more I realize that most people come in with something, right? And they've got something going on. And lots of times when it's lifting, it is the back, shoulder, the knee, the hip, all these joint areas. Well, not the back, but you know what I'm saying. But today we're going to talk about what are some of the most common symptoms of back pain? And maybe you can start off, what are some more common symptoms that you see with your clients?
Yeah. So when we think about the hip or the back, we can't necessarily just say it's the back, right? And I think we've talked about this before, but yeah. You know, like we have symptoms that kind of go down into the legs. We have symptoms that, you know, maybe start in the back and kind of go into like the glute and the hip area. So that's important to know. So some of the like more common things that I feel like I see is like super tight, like almost radiating pain down the leg. I'll get that every now and then. Sometimes like it's not electric shocks, but it's like just tightness from like the back to your ankle. So that's one that I see quite often. Another one, when we have just like specific, like legit back pain, we can have it across the whole back. We can have it on one side. We can have it in the center. We can have it a little lower over like your SI joint. So if you can like reach behind you, you feel like a really bony, like little point, I guess.
Yeah.
Like off to the side and down a little bit from your low back, people have pain there. But I would say that's probably the more common, like for thinking of like lower back pain. Those are probably like the top ones right there.
Okay. And so most of the pain will be radiating down the legs if it is something that is not coming directly from your back. So right, like we talk about this as referred pain, right? So if your pain is in your leg, it might not be your leg, it might be your back.
Yep.
Right. What are some reasons that people would have this kind of pain?
Yeah. So we'll start with training stuff and then we'll get away from the training.
Yeah.
So you can either over or underload the tissues in your low back. So if you're overloading like your back, maybe you're deadlifting with your back instead of like your legs, and your hips and your glutes. Maybe you're squatting and you're like really kicking those hips back first. That's just going to add a lot of stress to the low back. And so, you know, it could be kind of an overloaded muscle. And whenever things are overloaded that they're not ready to handle that, they get a little cranky, right? So, that's one thing. Underloading. So just as overloading is a problem, underloading is a problem. So if you have day-to-day demands that, you know, require you to be in certain positions or things like that, and your back is not ready to handle it, then things can get achy too, because it's not ready to handle that kind of challenge or that kind of load. Same is true if you, you know, deadlift 200 pounds and then all of a sudden you decide to have an ego and like try for 400 pounds or something like that. Like, your tissues just aren't ready to handle that kind of load. So when we think of load, like, it's not just in the gym, it's like outside day-to-day stuff. Maybe you have to like climb a ladder, or maybe you have to like push a car or shovel snow, since, you know, it's about to be that time. So, you know, if you do have back pain from something like that, it's probably an underloading thing at that point.
It's very interesting. And I will say this, as we were talking about this earlier today, this is going to be for, generally speaking, so not anybody who's had any kind of serious surgeries or anything recently. If that's the case, a lot of things could be off. Right. So we're speaking, generally speaking, like, you don't have anything major that's happened within a year or so. If you've had an injury 6 years ago, maybe or maybe not this would affect you, but I would say these things, this information could still apply to you. If you do have surgery or something, this might not be, you might need a little bit more specificity to what we're talking about here today. Okay. So training. Yeah. And I think this is a good one to point out. When I have somebody who has back pain with, for example, deadlifting, when you were talking about not driving with the legs, backs, and or the legs, glutes, and hams, what that ends up looking like is lower back rounding, right? So we can have some upper back rounding, especially if you're in heavy loads, the upper back can be a little bit, right? There's a range when we talk about form. So I hate when people tell me it's got to look a certain way. We hate definitive absolutes. Right. No, nothing. That's like, if there is a range for a lot of things and it depends for a lot of things. However, if you do find that your back is hurting you when you deadlift and you're not noticing, you need to take videos or something of your low back. I mean, of your side view, because that will definitely lead to an overuse of the low back, and not, you're going to be limited on your performance. Your weakness is going to be that, you know? And then that's a big one for squats. And I was just having this conversation with a new member at my gym. Every time he squats, he, same thing like you're saying. So when somebody comes down, hips shoot back. And what that does, you'll notice, because your knees and your hips will shoot back first, and then you'll stand up with it. What that means is your legs are not taking it. They are not taking the load, right? Because they are probably weaker, in a sense, in comparison to your back, some technique with it too. But now the back was like, oh, I can take this load. And that's where it takes it over through the squat. And after a while, your back is going to be fired up if it ain't messed up, because I know the feeling. So that's just some things to keep in mind when we talk about training, is really looking at your training and where are you maybe using your back more than you should be. And the other great point, which nobody, of course, ever talks about, is stress, right? And the other things that fall under the stress that can affect. So what are some of those things, and how do they affect your back pain?
Yeah. So I know we talked a little bit about this off air, but honestly, I feel like a lot of people just carry their stress, like, either in their shoulders or their low back. Like, they just get super tense. So things could get achy because your muscles just like constantly flexed, if you will. So that's one thing. Two, like, for me, I like to talk about stress. I like to talk about sickness, which, you know, and, you know, like, sleep and all of these things, because if you already have some kind of inflammation or irritation in the area, not prioritizing like your sleep, not getting good nutrition, being sick, being super stressed, like, that can honestly just like exponentiate like the things that you're already feeling. And so it feels worse. Whenever, you know, for you, for example, like, when you're sick, or like, you had the flu, now you have strep, you know, like, I need to get you some
Light. They were like, did you know, totally off topic, if you've had the flu, you're more than, you have a higher likelihood of getting strep? I did not. Yeah. She said it's like weird with viruses. I'm like, oh, okay. That's great.
Well, if you're like Heidi and had the flu and now strep, your body is not, it's not focused on getting a good workout, right? It's working on like trying to recover and heal itself. And so this is a time that I see a lot of people get hurt, is they're sick trying to make their workout, because, you know, we have this whole, oh, we got to be consistent, we got to be 100% all the time, we got to go push ourselves before, you know, like, all these like mindset gurus that have zero slack for people.
Yes.
I feel like when you work out, when you're sick, like that is a very good opportunity to get hurt. So just like keep those things in mind, because, you know, there's more to back pain than just like lifting. There's, you know, like I said, those other factors like the sleep, the stress, the nutrition, like all those things. And then another one that a lot of people don't think of is, say you are a morning person, like you work out in the mornings and then you have a desk job. So you go, you get your back super warm, you get it super fatigued, you get a nice pump, and then you go and sit for like 8-10 hours a day without really moving, maybe a couple little bathroom breaks. But other than that, like you're not moving. If you go from a super warm muscle to super cold, not moving it, not doing anything, then like, yeah, like things aren't going to feel great. So I see, and this is, I'm not like a huge posture person. I'm not, you know, anything like that. But like, just realize that, you know, if you go from one extreme to the next, that's probably not going to be the most comfortable thing for you. And then another thing, like if you sit all day and you're not getting any movement, a lot of times people can have pain no matter where it is in the body. This horrible saying that I heard in PT school, it's like motion is lotion.
Yeah.
Which is so such a bad thing, but like it's just such a dumb saying, but it is true.
I hate those.
I hate that it's true, but it is true. If you're not moving, then, you know, like your body's not being loaded. It's not being like, this is another weird word, but like lubricated, like your joints get lubricated with movement. And so you know, if you're just stuck in one position all day, like it's probably not going to do you any favors.
Yeah. I like Pavel Tsatsouline. You know who that is, right? Pavel, he brought the kettlebells to the United States. He's like the kettlebell dude, but he talks like this, comrade. And he says, you grease the groove. That's what he calls it. So whenever we're greasing the groove is really, you know, kind of putting a lot of movement into these joints for whatever the exercise is. But that was always my lotion and motion reference, you know, like the crossover. You grease the groove. But I, you know, you don't use it, you lose it. I hate that one too, but it applies to certain things, you know. Yes. But I totally agree. And, you know, it's funny that you talk about, so I got sick, right? Friday night, not feeling too good. Saturday morning, I go in and they say I have strep. I'm like, shit. And they say, you'll probably feel better in like 48 hours, which is today. And I feel like golden today, right? And the next day, Sunday, I was already feeling much better. And I was like, let me go out and buy all these things for my Christmas party, do all this. And what happened? I tweaked my back. Totally. Not even doing anything. I don't even remember. All of a sudden, I just felt it in my back. And I am that person who will overdo it. And once I start feeling better, it's like I forget that my body's still healing. Like you literally still have strep throat. Like you're wearing a mask, you're doing all this stuff, but you're still sick and your body is trying to heal. And now you're trying to force it to do all these other things, right? So I am that person that should have remembered that. But I was feeling better and I thought it was fine.
That right there is honestly one of the most dangerous times for people. And I just had this conversation with one of my clients. When you feel better coming off an injury or sickness or anything like that, that is literally the most dangerous time, because like you said, you felt better and so you thought you were better. Mm-hmm. However, your body was still recovering. The same is true after injury. You might feel, hey, that back pain is finally gone. Like I'm going to go freaking ham in the gym. I'm going to push it harder than I've pushed in a long time. They're going to catch up, which you can't do, guys. Don't do
that.
But that's whenever a lot of people see like the highest risk of injuries or re-injury is like coming off this, hey, something really just sucked. It was super shitty. And now I feel better. So now I'm going to make up for lost time. Like, just don't make up for lost time.
Yeah.
It happen. And just know, like, if you are coming off something like that, give your body a little extra time, like 3 days, 4 days, a week. Like, it's not that much in the grand scheme of things. So just take a chill pill with that.
So you're telling me I shouldn't go to my class in 12 o'clock today is what you're trying to say.
I mean, I'm saying you do you, but.
Can't give me a definitive answer. I like it.
You should really see a physical therapist about that.
Yeah, all that to say, you know, that we need to think of systemic, like what our whole body is going through. When we say systemic, it's like the whole body, right? So sometimes we really have to think about that as well. And we don't. We don't think about work. We don't think about family, outside stress, sickness. Those things seem separate from our aches and pains, but really they're not. They can be the driver of a lot of it too. What are some things to keep in mind? And we talked about earlier referred pain, how referred pain, maybe you can talk a little bit about referred pain and how that can keep these things in mind.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, a lot of times for me, like I, especially with lifters, you know, like if you had some traumatic accident where someone came in and like hit you and, you know, obviously like if your face hurts or your shoulder hurts, like, you know where that came from. Yeah. So you know, like that's probably where it is. But with lifters, like if you feel pain in one area, it's likely not coming from that. The biggest example while we're on the back pain topic, if you have back pain with like squats and deadlifts and things, and you know, you notice like you're not using your legs as much and you feel pinching in your hip, the back pain's likely coming from like your hips not moving the way that they should. So for me, like I like to look at hip mobility, see where that's at, and then usually the back pain clears up. Same is true for knee pain. Everything is connected. Everything's a big chain. And so, you know, if somebody has knee pain and they feel like, oh, hey, there's that pinch in my hip, all right, let's work on some hip mobility and see if we can clear that up. I had one guy who came in post ACL surgery. He's a rugby player and I think he tore his meniscus as well. And so he was having knee pain and, you know, most people would be like, oh, like you have the history there. It's probably from that. And I was like, I just don't ever accept anything as like an answer. Like, you know, if it's like the first thought, I'm like, yeah, that's probably not it. It seems too easy.
To me, that's a great way of looking at things though, right? Yeah. If you want an answer, if you're going right for that, then I think you're limiting yourself.
Right. Sometimes it is the lowest hanging fruit, but I, even if it ends up being that, like I want to check everything else first to make sure. Cause I mean, I can get somebody out of pain really quick. You can get somebody out of pain really quick. Like anybody can, you know, you can just remove anything that's pissing it off. But I think the real like value is finding like what's going on under the surface. So I always call it like finding the root of what's going on. So this guy, I noticed something weird with his hips and we did some hip mobility. I have a couple like go-to, you know, tests and then they turn into like a treatment, if you will, or an exercise. I had him do that. And that same session within 30 minutes, his knee pain was gone. Like, you know, it's one of those things where if I would have just treated the knee, he would still be in knee pain because we didn't actually figure out what was going on.
Right.
And so, you know, I had a guy pull 600 pounds with back pain, but 550 was okay. And again, I did the assessment. His hips were just really high. We checked it. We did the couple little mobility drills. Back pain was gone. And, you know, like if your body's not moving the way it's meant to and should, then yeah, like other things, it's the overloading thing that I talked about earlier. Like other tissues can get overloaded because they're trying to make up for that, you know, that weaker link or the thing that's not working well. And so it's trying to, you know, say, ah, well, we can still handle this. And that's whenever injuries and stuff happen. And so anyway, all that long-winded rant to say, like, where you're feeling pain is probably not the source of the pain.
Yeah, I think it's really important, though. And that's why it's better when you have a professional helping you. It just makes the way and the journey for you to get to healing faster, just like having a coach. You could do the shit all on your own. And I've done that. I'm very much that person who's done that. And it wasn't until I really reached out to professionals that it, you know, that made everything so much faster.
Yeah.
And it still took a little while, but it was definitely like, if I was on my own, I'd still have that pain. You know what I mean? And, the other thing I did want to talk about, we were just talking about different exercises and things that we will go over here in a little bit. But one thing to keep in mind when we're talking about back pain is some of the myths and things that we've been told that is the problem with your back pain. One of the major ones is that you have a weak core. Now, can you explain to me why this myth has been perpetuated and why it is a myth?
Yeah, I feel like in some instances it really is true. And I think that it's something like the rice. I think we talked about that mm-hmm. on the last episode. You know, one person has this idea and then everybody just runs with it. And they notice that, like, hey, if I do these exercises like planks, bird dogs, dead bugs, you know, the typical low back pain cure that you'll see on physio pages, a lot of times, like, that does put input into the system. And so, you know, like, it does feel good because you're releasing, like, endorphins and, you know, like, all these things that feel good. So yeah, like, it can help. However, if you talk to somebody that squats 700 pounds and they have back pain, do you think that you will tell them that they have a weak core?
Right.
Probably not. Same is true. Like, if someone squats 200 pounds, like, do you think that their core is weak? I mean, it could be a little weaker, but do you think that, like, stabilizing like 200-300 pounds on your back is like a weak core? Probably not.
Probably not.
And so, you know, like, that's my problem with it. Like, maybe for the general population who doesn't lift, maybe there is some, like, merit and some truth to that because mm-hmm. they aren't exercising. However, for, like, lifters, I think it's complete bullshit. Like, I hate it. So yeah, I don't.
Yeah. So we keep that in mind because we are going to talk about exercises, that we think could help. However, they are going to be a little bit, they're not going to be very specific. And if you haven't noticed by now, after all these episodes, there is no clear answer. And I sometimes hate that we have to say it depends, right? But it really does, because a lot of you might have different things going on. But so it's things just to keep in mind when we do get into the exercises. So as we kind of talk about the myth of a weak core, I want to talk a little bit about what do you think can help with mm-hmm. your back pain, and what do you think might not be as effective? And another myth I learned within the last, like, decade, I was always told to stretch my hamstrings for my back, right? Stretch your, yeah. You have tight hamstrings, and that's why your back is sore, which is a complete, utter myth, right? I mean, it could apply to some people, of course, but more often than not, that is not going to be the cure, right? So that would, in my sense, fall into the things that might not be as effective. But what do you think could help with your back pain? What are some strategies that people do?
Well, to answer that, let's start with what doesn't help.
Perfect.
What doesn't help is rest, complete rest. You just lay on the couch and eat ho-hos and whatever else. That's not going to help. You know, doing chiropractic adjustments 3 times a week for the rest of your life, that's not going to help. Rice, you know, and again, that kind of plays into resting, but, like, that's not necessarily going to help.
Just in case anybody hasn't heard of rice, rest, ice, compression, elevation is the acronym that every person in this field, even me, knew about. When you have an injury, they would tell you to rest it, ice it, compress it, and elevate it. But that is not probably going to help.
the guy who, like, created this idea actually, like, went back and redacted it. He was like, oh no, he's like, that doesn't actually work the way we thought it did. So, yeah. Anyway, so what does help is getting some movement in. Now, like, if you have back pain, getting movement in isn't going and doing something that you know is going to piss it off.
Right.
It's like, hey, what are some things that I can do that's going to work this area but not piss it off? So, you know, like, if 300 pounds hurts but 200 is fine, let's do 200 pounds. Let's just keep it light, add in some tempos, add in some pauses, add in, you know, like a pin squat variation or something like that, so that you're getting some work in, you're loading that system, but you're not, like, overly doing it, right? Really making sure that you're getting your sleep, your stress, your good nutrition, things that we've already talked about. wanting to make sure that, you know, your body as a whole is functioning as well as it can so that it can heal and deal with like the pain that you're feeling. Going back to something that doesn't help, alcohol does not help at all. Alcohol is like an inflammatory, and so it can actually make your back pain a lot worse. So whenever you're coming off an injury, that is the time to like be super dialed in on all of these other, you know, additional outside factors, because that's just going to make healing that much better. It's going to make your body feel that much better. And then continue to load it, you know, like do it in a smart way, do it in a safe way. Hopefully you have a coach or a PT or somebody that you can trust who can like help you to, you know, scale things back, dial it back in. But just find like what feels good and, you know, do that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. And when you're talking about things that do help, you know, getting the movement in with a lighter weight, or even changing, right? Like it doesn't have to be a back squat. It could be a front squat or any kind of front loaded. It could be a machine. It could be a hack squat. It could be a pendulum, a leg press. I find that like, what is that?
Oh, I said it, or it could just be like leg extensions and leg curls. Like if exactly. Your body can handle a squatting movement, like yeah. It, I think people think that they have to be perfect and they have to, you know, like, oh, coach said I have to do back squats, so now I'm going to. I would guarantee if you talk to your coach and you were like, hey, like this is legitimately going on, they'd be like, okay, go do whatever feels good. Like we don't have to hit that today, because yeah. One workout isn't going to make or break you.
Totally.
If that's a trend and that's like your thing to kind of escape doing like hard shit, then, you know, like
that's
maybe
a
like,
problem.
Yeah. Right. But like, if it's a legit pain or a legit injury, like no coach that I've ever talked to, even like the worst coaches, they're not going to be like, oh, sorry, you still have to back squat like
right.
500 pounds today.
Yeah.
No, like, yeah.
Anyway. Nobody would, I mean, no good coach would have you do that. So we want you to coach yourself and know that there is a way for you to get maybe some sort of stimulation without having to do it that way. I mean, what did I have just the other day? And I ended up, I think I ended up block pulling, right? So if we're talking about back stuff, right? So I ended up block pulling because pulling from the floor was feeling a little tight for me that day. Added two pads, which was a little over 2 inches, pain gone. Same weight, felt great. So just think about those things and keep those things in mind as a way to still be able to work the actual movement without having that pain. All right. So that leads us into our conclusion of exercises that can help. Mm. Now, I think just what we talked about right now, think about those things as far as exercises in your main movements, where you're having the pain, where can we step it back, right? So is it either lightening the load and you keep the same motion? That would be like numero uno, right? I can still back squat, but it's just a little lighter in weight. You know, I can't do any kind of axial loading right now. Like that's going to suck. I can't do any front loading. Like it doesn't feel good either. Okay. So maybe it's a machine, a leg press, a knee extension. And maybe it's a goblet squat, right? Heel elevated goblet squat. Maybe it's a split squat. Maybe it's something along those lines. Those would be some first recommendations if we're going to talk about exercise to still keep you moving. What about some things to help mitigate the pain? And I know you were speaking about nerve glides, which I've never done, that you felt pretty good about.
Yeah. So honestly, like I would give nerve glides to just about anybody. They always feel good. So sciatic nerve glides, like if you are having kind of that tension down your leg, people who have had sciatic, like true sciatica pain, they've probably done these ad nauseum. So basically you sit somewhere, you sit with bad posture. So you let everything just kind of slouch, just like your mama told you not to do.
Oh my gosh, my mother.
Right. And then you want to be like high enough up. So I like to use like plyo boxes or something like this. So you slouch, and then you kick one leg out. Okay. So it should be straight. If you feel tension on the back of your leg, that's pretty normal. So what you're going to do is just like flossing your teeth, right? So it's called nerve flossing or nerve gliding. So if your foot points down, your head's going to point down. Okay. Head goes back, toes go back. So you're just mimicking this like up and down, up and down. Honestly, if you're listening to this and you want to know what a nerve glide is, just send me a message. I'll send you a video. It's probably a little easier than explaining it. But those are some that I use. I've always had like tight hamstrings, but I don't have back pain.
Me too.
Right.
I don't even know if mine are tight. I can touch my toes. I feel like that's pretty adequate.
Yeah. No. For me, my hamstrings got a lot better once I started like eccentrically loading them, like magically improved my mobility.
What do you know? Strength training can increase mobility. How loading that in these positions can actually mobilize it.
But before, when I was trying to find like a solution for my tight hamstrings, like I would do Nerf glides every single day, and it did help. It did help tremendously. But then like once I started doing the eccentric loads, like it it was like a 10x of what. Palloff press, I always love those. Like any kind of anti-rotation, anti-flexion, anti-extension movements, they are a little more core heavy, which I know we talked about the weak core myth, but I always love doing anything like that. It puts some good input into the system and can actually like make things feel better, at least short term. So I like to do those. And then any kind of offset work, you know, like front squat, single arm front squat with like a kettlebell or suitcase deadlift or anything like that. I like doing those. Hip mobility, I recommend for a lot of people, just not everybody, because sometimes like the hip mobility stuff actually can make things worse. But for the vast majority of people, I think that the hip mobility does help. And for me, I like to do like a banded hip mobility, instead of, you know, like just the 90-90 on the ground. The band really just helps to kind of optimize like the position that your hip's in. I'm trying to think what else. I know that they, like, I was actually somebody who gave these a lot of flack early on, but I do like bridges and hip thrusts, even though like, it's, I feel like the whole like booty culture, you know, kind of ruined that exercise for a lot. Me too, early on, but, I really like those for like a posterior chain development.
Was surprised, like just my single leg glute bridge. We actually just uploaded a few videos of more of a glute focus one than an actual thrust, you know, so it's just a flexion of the, but my power is so tired. I was like, oh my gosh, I just did 10. I'm like, oh, fuck, my leg is too heavy. Like my rest of my body is too heavy. You know what I mean? And I'm looking at people like load like 400 pounds for a glute bridge or hip thrust. And I'm like, I don't know if that's as effective. You know, like there is a place for certain things, you know, and I get that, but I did really like, the glute bridging. So I like that. What were you going to say about GHD?
Oh, a GHD is another one where you can really get some, like, it's called a glute ham developer. So you can get a lot of like posterior chain work, with that too. And honestly, I mean, you know, within reason, I think anything that loads the posterior chain, you know, I think that those are good exercises to do to like keep the back pain away.
Yeah. And when we talk about posterior chain really is just your back posterior, right? Anterior is going to be your front, posterior is your back. So when you hear posterior chain a lot in the whole lifting world, that is your glutes, your hams, your low back, all the back stuff back there. Mm-hmm. And that's the nice thing. The GHD, I will say, is I love that machine. It is a little bit more advanced. So sometimes you could do it with a band. I have an actual GHD video on my Instagram, and I show a couple different ways that you can progress a GHD should you have problems with it. And they're, I love it though, man. That makes my hamstrings feel great. And how about this? How about you and I put some videos out for these exercises? That'd be cool. Yeah. I can do some of the, we'll talk about it after, but check us out. We're going to have this podcast out on a Friday, the 16th. So by then we're going to have some associated videos to go with it. I think it'd be pretty easy. Just so you guys know what we're talking about. We're talking about Nerve glides and Palloff presses. And when we talk about anti-rotational core things, anti-rotational just means resisting any rotation in your body, right? A lot of, I think, exercise we think about core early on when we don't really understand or know a lot, we think of flexion, all flexion-based, right? So sit-ups, crunches, all that. Horseshit is what... Horseshit. You know what's weird is I've gone back to some decline sit-ups. Yeah. And they were fucking hard. And I it's funny how, you know, 15 years later, I'm going back to that. So, I mean, so there is value, of course, in every exercise, right? Is it the best if you have back pain? No. So we're talking about things that maybe you want to think about if you have back pain. So anti-rotational is what she was talking about right now, is Pavlov press. Well, you're going to try to resist some of the movement from the side. And so is a suitcase carry, that, you know, all these things offloaded. So we're talking about not the same load in each arm, or, you know, as we're just chugging back and forth over here in the video. Those are all wonderful ways for your core having to stabilize in movements that it's not used to. And we want to be able to have those things back in there. I was saying earlier that I personally, because I for so many years did so much sagittal plane things, right? So just squatting, deadlifting, that's all one movement, up and down, up and down, up and down. I rarely got any rotational movement. And I feel that my body was not prepared for when I did turn around and grab a piece of paper off the floor. You know what I mean? So I started incorporating more of these, you know, split stance, rotational cable movement. So I'm moving across my body a little bit more and I'm having rotation in the upper body, trying to keep my hips stable. A lot of that movement has really helped me and I'm actually breathing through it. Like I feel like such a hippie, but breath and breath work is so important. I've learned so much more of that the last 5 years, and how important that is for my just my well-being. Is it going to make my my squat better? I wouldn't say there's a direct translation. If I have less pain, then right? If I have less pain overall in my body, of course I'm going to be able to perform better. So none of us are getting younger. We're all getting older. So we do have to think about these things. But yeah, that's probably the one that I really thought that has helped me over the years. Anything else to recap on?
There was something that kept coming up in my head. So we'll see how this goes. But just know, like, you're only as strong as your weakest link, right? Yeah. So, you know, your weakest link might be, like your glutes and your hamstrings and like a deadlift. It might be, hey, you were just sick. Hey, it might be that old nagging injury, whatever it is. Like, just know that, you know, you're only as strong as that weakest link, and the weakest link is usually where things are gonna like fail or experience some kind of pain or injury. The body's really good at compensating, so I would say you could probably push through that all day long. Yeah. However, pushing through is not going to be good for longevity. So just keep all that in mind.
Yeah, totally. You don't want to be like what we've probably done. We've had to regress for months. Like I didn't squat for months because I didn't know. And I kept trying to push and it wasn't the right thing. So all this to say, keep these things in mind. If you ever need direct help, Dr. Wells over here can help you through online, and she can help you with any kind of pain to rehabilitation to just performing better. And of course, we can answer any questions you guys have, any specificity. But yeah, when this podcast comes out, I will link the videos. We'll have some video guides for some exercise that you can do that would probably be helpful and safe for each of you to try. I think these would be safe to do on a daily basis. So thank you so much again. And remember to find us online at... Go ahead. You didn't change it yet, did you? I was going to...
At beyond.recoveryphysicaltherapy.
There we go.
Instagram. I do have a special Facebook group. So we have some extra content over in that. Free to join. So if you are interested, shoot me a message on that.
Okay. I'm interested. So okay. I want to check. I'm interested. And you can always find us, The Future is Female Powerlifting, without the in the front because that's too much words. The future, it's just Future is Female Powerlifting, but good enough.
One of the most badass pages that you'll follow.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much.